Thanks for joining us for Season 6 of the ACED IT Podcast. ACED IT is brought to you via the Justice Community Opioid Innovation Network, or JCOIN, with funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. I'm Danielle Rudes, your host, coming to you from Sam Houston State University in Texas and bringing you amazing science from today's top scholars and researchers in easy-to-understand language. The theme of Season 6 is diversity, equity, and inclusivity within the justice and health research field. I can't wait to share this season with you. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get started. The U.S. mortality rate related to substance use disorders, or SUDs, has been on the rise over the past 20 years. Providing people who have a substance use disorder with access to evidence-based treatments has become increasingly imperative. One effective way to introduce patients to treatment for SUD is through people known as peer support specialists, or PSSs. To make sure we're all on the same page about what a PSS is, the researchers describe these individuals as people with similar life experiences to patients with an SUD. PSSs engage patients with treatment. They may interact with patients after emergency department visits or during inpatient hospitalization. Providing patients with peer support specialists can give them many advantages in the treatment of substance use disorders. The peer support specialist can help patients to not only find services, but also help support behavioral changes, harm reduction, and they can support them through relationship building. The question you may be asking is, why are peer support specialists so important? Is it really that hard for patients to find treatment on their own? According to the current scholarly literature, only 17% of patients who were hospitalized for an opioid use disorder or overdose engage with any form of treatment afterwards. So the answer to the question, is it really that hard for patients to find treatment on their own, is definitely yes. Engaging with substance use disorder treatment is even lower among individuals who identify as Black. And the research suggests this may be for a few different reasons. One is that Black patients are often less likely to acknowledge mental illness or mental health care because of the stigma associated with it. There's also an underrepresentation of Black treatment providers in the mental health field, which compounds the mistrust in medical providers that many Black patients already have. In a published paper by Caleb Webb from the Department of Emergency Medicine at the University of Louisville, Webb and his colleagues looked at racial disparities in enrollment in SUD treatment after a patient interacts with a peer support specialist. The researchers were also looking at racial disparities in same-day transportation to a treatment facility. The study was performed at the University of Louisville Hospital, where there is an affiliated addiction treatment center known as Centerstone. It was a retrospective, observational cohort study. Retrospective studies look at events that have already happened to analyze why something happened. These types of studies do not try to predict something that'll happen in the future. In this instance, that means looking at patients who had already engaged with a peer support specialist at the hospital and then finding out if they subsequently enrolled in a substance use disorder treatment and if they were transported to that treatment the same day. The researchers included those patients who interacted with a peer support specialist after expressing that they wanted to pursue treatment with Centerstone. The data included in this study were collected from a time period that spanned from May 2018 to September 2019 and was provided by the treatment facility, Centerstone. For the peer support specialist specifically, they were employed by Centerstone and had several criteria that they had to meet to qualify to become a peer support specialist. This included a shared life experience related to substance use, 2 years of sobriety, 2 weeks of training with a certification test, and 6 hours of continued training each year. The peer support specialist has several duties within their jobs. They have to initially meet with patients and offer resources to them, and after that, they have to continue to connect with patients and connect the patients with sponsors and any other resources that a patient might need, like housing or employment. As I mentioned, this was a retrospective study. So the researchers reviewed patients' electronic health records from the hospital to obtain the retrospective data that they needed. The researchers looked at things like the patient's age, their race and ethnicity, their insurance status, any medications that they might be taking or have been prescribed for opioid use disorder, and the type of substance use disorder each patient had. The researchers looked at two different outcomes for the patients who interacted with a peer support specialist. The first, or primary outcome, was the differences in SUD, or substance use disorder, treatment enrollment based on race and ethnicity. Treatment enrollment just means that a patient attended an outpatient or inpatient visit at the treatment center. The second outcome, or secondary outcome, was the transportation to the treatment facility on the same day. In total, there were 785 patients included whose health records were looked at, with 168 of them being Black or African American and 617 of them being white. One important thing to note is that white patients had a higher likelihood of OUD, opioid use disorder, while Black patients had a higher rate of what's called polysubstance use. It's kind of a fancy way of saying that these folks reported using more than one substance, polysubstance use. So what did they find? Well, regarding treatment enrollment, the first statistical models showed that white patients with peer support specialists were more likely to enroll in treatment compared with Black patients with a peer support specialist. This model also showed that there was no significant difference for enrollment by race or ethnicity when looking at those who were inpatient, but there were significant findings for emergency department patients. In the emergency department, white patients were 93% more likely to enroll in treatment after speaking to and or working with a peer support specialist. The results for the second or secondary outcome, same-day transportation, were similar to the first outcome's results, with white patients being more likely to be transported to the treatment facility than Black patients in the emergency department. While this difference by race and ethnicity was seen in emergency departments, it was not seen in the total sample or the inpatient subjects. The researchers' findings suggest racial disparities among patients being referred to substance use disorder treatment by peer support specialists. One of the things that the researchers thought was particularly interesting was the difference in racial disparities between the emergency department and the inpatient setting, as patients working with peer support specialists were offered treatment in both places. This difference is not because of differences in the peer support specialists themselves. Instead, the researchers posit that the differences stem from the amount of time that patients spend in emergency departments versus inpatient settings, allowing Black patients in inpatient settings to develop more trust in medical providers because they spend more time there. There may also be some other factors that play into the racial disparities in treatment enrollment, like age, type of substance used, and medication for opioid use disorders. With these findings in mind, the researchers then offer some solutions for addressing and possibly remedying the racial disparities in treatment enrollment that is aided by peer support specialists. First, the researchers state that behavioral health patients more likely attend and/or continue attending appointments when the folks they are engaging with, like their PSS or their treatment provider, is of a similar race and ethnicity. This might be challenging with peer support specialists because they engage with so many patients. But maybe instead of matching them by race or ethnicity, some of this potential barrier may be quelled by providing a peer support specialist and/or a treatment team staff member with cultural sensitivity training to improve their understanding and perhaps their ability to build rapport, relationship, and trust with all patients, regardless of their race and ethnicity. Don't let this information, though, about racial disparities discourage you about peer support specialists. The findings in this study still suggest that overall, peer support specialists may be playing a valuable role in connecting patients with substance use disorders to treatment. And please, don't let this study completely sell you on peer support specialists either. If you've ever talked with a researcher, and I do that a lot, I'm sure you've heard something like, quote, "We need to study this more," unquote. It's not a cop-out. That's how science works. We continue learning, and as we learn, new questions come up, and then we look for answers to those questions too. We refine and strengthen our approaches over time, and eventually we can say with some certainty, usually not 100%, that a practice or a program shows evidence that it works. We're not quite there yet with peer support specialists, but this study is an excellent step in that direction. Learning more about what helps individuals with substance use disorders seek, find, connect with, enroll in, and stay in treatment is definitely a goal worth striving for. Thanks for tuning in to ACEDIT, where we translate science into sense. You can find ACEDIT anywhere you listen to podcasts and check out our other offerings on JTech. That's www.jcoinctc.org/JTech. That's J-T-E-C. We consider it our mission to help everyone learn. On JTech, you'll find e-learning courses, webinars, and other trainings, all geared to help you learn about justice and health research and research methods quickly and easily. Special shout out here to George Mason University, home of the Coordination and Translation Center for JCoin, Sam Houston State University, and National Institute on Drug Abuse, and the National Institute of Health. Also, if you'd like us to break down some research that you've read or produced in a future episode of the podcast, send it to me at droods, R-U-D-E-S, @shsu.edu. See you next time on ACEDIT.